Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this radio program is for October 24th, 2020. And we're going to be looking at our old friend, the thing that everyone wants above everything else in life. No, it's not love. It's not understanding. It's not compassion. It's money, 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 money. That's what everybody wants. And that's what the whole life is measured on, is money. And we're going to talk about how we do the money thing and how we miss what is truly important because we're so busy with the money. What is money? Well, it's what most people think of as the true freedom of their life. That's the way it is looked at. If you have enough money, you can do whatever you want. No worries, no problems, no nada. And that's the way living is here in the West. We live for the sake of a personal aggrandizement of ourselves, a personal freedom to have enough money to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and however we want. And because money has become so deeply important to us, and because we're so afraid we won't have enough of it, we do a lot of very insane things. It is said that money is the root of all evil in the Bible, but that's not true. It isn't money that is the root of all evil. It is the greed for money that is the root of all evil. And most of us do not understand what money is. When I was in seminary, the two things that were stressed to us was money and health. And those are the two things that the seminary was about, unity was about. It was about how to teach your people how to be prosperous and well. And that's all that mattered. And you know, when I got out into the field and I started doing my work, by God, they were right. All anybody wanted to hear is, how do I get more money? Would God want me to have more money? And with more money, I'll be more comfortable. It's a way of avoiding death, and it is a way of avoiding suffering. And death and suffering are a part of the impermanence of this lifetime, of this world. And this is something that most people aren't prepared for, don't want to be prepared for, can't think about because it scares them so much. So they don't go into what it means to have an authentic sense of prosperity, which is something that I think eludes individuals in this world to the nth degree. They have absolutely no concept of it. So we're going to go into this. I got lots of emails, and you know, most of the emails I get are about money. They're about how the state of the world, how to avoid the state of the world, how to be secure and happy in their own little cubby in their homes and live off the meager amount of kindness that society and the none that the government offers, which everybody is so gung-ho about. So here we go. The first question goes to Ralph. I don't know where he lives. He just says Midwest. That's all. He goes into a long dissertation about how he has earned money throughout his lifetime. He's about 35 years old, he says. Why is money so important? I never thought of myself as a person of money, as you put it in your programs, but now I'm becoming that. Why is it so important? I have a lot of things I want to say about this, Ralph. I do. And I'm going to say them candidly. Money replaces or seems to replace the worth of a person. If a person has low self-esteem, and most of us suffer from that in our human, you know, mind, our human body, from our genetics, there has got to be something to counteract that low self-esteem. You can't live in it for long periods of time because to do so becomes demoralizing and usually leads to depression. So there are a lot of people in this world, Ralph, who are not equipped to live in the society and the physicality of the world that we have right now. There are a lot of people who just don't have the genetic disposition to understand what they can do to earn a living. They don't even have that. You knew these kids in high school. As you grew up and you went into your senior year, you would ask your friends, what are you going to do after, you know, high school? And they would say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And they don't know. They literally do not know because their parents didn't help them, cultivate them, talk to them, explore with them their interests or whatever. They didn't know. And a lot of people, even if you did talk to them, a lot of kids, and cultivate whatever, they wouldn't know either because people change their relationship to their genetic nature, their relationship to their body changes day after day after day. So the things that were important, let's say, when you were 8 years old, won't be as important to you when you're 10 years old or 12 years old or 15 years old, and on it goes. So how we, quote unquote, earn a living to counteract our low self-esteem and to prove to others, mainly ourselves through other people, the worth of us is the key here. So why is money so important? Ralph, listen to me and try to understand. It's a compensation for not maturing. It's a compensation for not growing. This is why many people are money grubbers, as I call them. They are people who live in this world, by this world, in a contemptuousness for trying to attain inner peace. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know what you are, if you are not aware of the state of your own being, if you are unaware of the beauty that lives within you, you're going to resort to trying to prove things in and of the world. And in doing so, you're going to miss what is truly important about your own life. I know many, many people, many, many people who have lots of money, and all of them are miserable. They will lie, they will cheat, they will even steal in business, and I wouldn't get anywhere near them in business because they are, what do I want to say, ruthless and mean. And the lying that goes on about it is incredible. And why is all of this going on? Not only because they have no integrity and they have no character, but mainly because these people have low self-esteem and they struggle with their self-esteem. They have no sense of what it means to have and live from the state of love that indwells them, indwells all of us. We just don't get it. So money is important to try to counteract the misery that is going on within. And I have counseled many, many people with loads of money, and they are all the same. They thought that money and working hard and doing whatever it was that brought them money would bring them happiness and inner peace, some sense of security. This one guy, I have so many that stick out in my head after 50 years of being a counselor. I'm not kidding. It is absolutely insane what people think about money and how they use it as a weapon against themselves as well as against other people. And they never really understand this. So those who seek fortunes and not prosperity, those who seek to have money over a sense of inner peace, usually turn out to be insane or mentally ill. And I've found this 100%. I don't know. I have really good friends, people I knew when I was younger, and people I knew in childhood. They're mentally ill. They are on antidepressants. They can't handle it. They don't know. And they're not interested in anything other than what they have. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Well, they also want the two in the bush, thinking that if they get that, they're going to be happy, or they're going to feel secure, or they're going to cure their deep-rooted misunderstanding of themselves, and they're going to miss. And that's what they do. It's like spiritual awakening. There are some people who have the ilk for it and want to work on that, and there are many, many more people that don't. Maybe one out of a million wants to really work on themselves. Maybe one, maybe. But you have to understand, money represents to people the cure for their low self-esteem. And that's all it's about. They want to be loved, and they don't feel worthy of love. So if they have enough money, they can get that woman, they can get that man, they can get that thing, whatever it is, they can get any of it, and it will change their life and make them feel good about themselves, and they can live carefree in the what? The quagmire of their emotionality? Really? That's going to make them feel better? I don't think so. There you are, Raphael. I hope you wrote a beautiful email, by the way, and I want to thank you for it. You are succinct. You are obviously very intelligent, and I am grateful that you listened to me, and please forgive me. Namaste. Very interesting how people are about money. You can tell a lot about a person by the state of their generosity. And I've always said this to women. If you go out on a date with a guy and you go to dinner, watch how he tips. Because eventually, if you get involved with this guy, you're going to get that tip eventually. Okay, the next question. People have rules about tipping. I find that interesting. This one comes from John in Northern California. What is it that makes money the root of all evil, John? Sorry, I read that wrong for a moment there. I'm not wearing my glasses. Low self-esteem turns to malice. You must be aware of this. Money becomes the root of my evil, not because of money, but because of the malice that I use to obtain money. And that is something that people will say that, you know, you earned. You have to look at the business you're in. You have to look at the things you're doing in your business. Are you taking advantage of people? Yada, da, yada, da, that kind of thing. But basically, what makes it the root of all evil is the malice I have to for myself, for the first part. Self-hatred is a very big part of it. And then the second part of that is the sport that people often have and think of as the way they earn money. It's like a sport. It's like something they want to do and enjoy doing and taking advantage of other people. It is not only the kill that is important to a lot of people, but how you kill them. You know, are you clever enough to destroy your enemy? I don't know how we ever got to the idea that this is a great country. You can't give freedom to people, because if you do, what they will do is take advantage of it. Look at the tobacco industry. I mean, really, if someone had come to you and said to you, John, I am going to make you a multi-billionaire. And how I'm going to do it is I'm going to introduce this plant to you, and it's going to be something that is addictive and will hurt people, cause them to get ill and sick and die, but you will be fabulously wealthy. What would you do? It's always the idea of wealth and the convenience of wealth, seeming convenience, over the idea of maybe being less wealthy or not wealthy at all, but being able to live with yourself because you didn't do the things that made you ruthless, unkind, that made malice. When malice, the basic meanness of a person who is seeking revenge and thinks of revenge as the only way of life, the only thing that makes life worth living, to show other people the maybe mental, emotional, physical prowess you have. If that is my motivation for anything I do, then I have put myself in a position for some real difficulties coming up. It is about karma. It is just about the law that is. In this world, the things that don't last long are the things that people want the most. And typically that is human love, money, objects, and things. They don't last long because we don't last long. I was talking on a Zoom discourse weeks ago after the fires up in Napa. And those were horrible fires. And this very interesting man who had lost his vineyard, a vineyard that took hard work to make, and I would imagine was passed down to him by his parents or somebody in his genetic neighborhood, said, "Everything that we thought was important is now ashes. Everything that we thought was important is now ashes." Now, that is a very profound insight. Now, I wonder if he will be able, and I'll never know this, to turn that into something that allows him liberation, spiritual liberation. I wonder if he will relook at his life and think to himself, well, maybe I should look for those things, as Jesus talked about, where the moth cannot eat and the rust cannot corrupt. I wonder if there is something that one can achieve in this world that would allow them to have a meaningful existence, a meaningful life. I highly doubt it. But there it is. I mean, he's going to have to seek, if he is wise, and he uses this time wisely, to see exactly how life works and what it means to have a meaningful life. And most of us just don't care about that. It's not something we're much interested in. Not at all. Are you? I mean, seriously, you listen to this radio program or you watch some of my TV programs or read my commentaries. Really? How interested are you? John, what makes money the root of all evil is not money. It is what is incomplete within us. It is based on this assumption we have that we should be happy. I am not here in this world to always be happy. I am not here in this world to be carefree. I am not in this world to think of my power. That's how they manipulate you, making you think you have power. You don't have power. You really don't. The only power people have is their malice, their meanness. To do kindness and love, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is a very nice little statement that Jesus made, but can you do it to your enemies? Can you go to your enemy and see what part you had in making them your enemy and ask for forgiveness? To me, real power is not what I have over another person. It is what power I have over myself, as it were, and that power is to forgive. And if you're not a forgiver, if you don't do forgiveness because of your pride, your vanity, you will find that the root of all evil is pride. It is pride in everything. Think of all the people, John, you have done ill to. Just think about it. And think about maybe going beyond why you did it and the reasonability of why you did it, and start looking at the futility of it. You didn't change that other person, and you certainly didn't change yourself. You only made it more and more difficult to get out of the malice of the emperor that lives within you, of all malice. So maybe it's time to look at power from a different point of view. Humility. Humility brings the teachability, the meekness to understand things that the human mind just simply cannot be a part of. I hope that helps you, John. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, how can I live spiritually with money, Thomas? He does not tell me where he lives. Thomas, the only way you can live spiritually with money is not to live for money, by money, and through money. You have to not look at it as the causation of your life. It isn't how much you have. It is how it either defines you, guides you, manipulates you, or how freely you can let it pass through your hands to serve humankind, to help others, to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and as Jesus said, unto God what is God's. You have to see the bigger picture of money and your own life. It isn't there to show off, which most people use. It is there to send you into a depth, a clarity, into what is the opposite of malice, which is compassion and love. If your love for money exceeds your spirituality, which it does with most everybody I know, then you're going to always be worried about how to keep your money and what to do with it, and yada-da, yada-da, yada-da. It's actually a form of prejudice I have found in people. People with money become prejudicial, and they don't really understand the nature of their life at all. And when it's in proportion to the money they have, they make their lives even worse. And they don't know it. They don't know why there are great difficulties that come into their life and why their families are suffering, yada-da, yada-da, and what's going on with families and why they fight with each other. I sit at hospice every week listening and overhearing the family talking about the business of the will and not what is going on before their eyes. They see what's going on with someone that is their mother or their father or their grandparents leaving their bodies, but they never put two and two together and realize this is a profound moment. No, what they're looking for and what they're looking at is, how do I avoid this from happening to me or make it more comfortable if I have to face it with the money? And they're looking at the will and all that other stuff. And you would be surprised. The disagreements, the outright fights that people go through when a family member is leaving their body. It's amazing. So how can you live spiritually with money? Seek prosperity, not money. Prosperity is the absence of my misunderstanding. Prosperity is the ability to understand that everybody's well-being is my well-being. It's like wearing a mask. I do it not because it's, the right thing to do. I do it because I love people and I don't want them to get sick and I don't want to spread, or I don't want it to be spread on me. It has a lot to do with the meaning of compassion towards other people. And that is what it's all about, making it a symbol of some political point of view. It's absolutely the most immature thing you could ever do. And there are so many that love that. I'm out of here. That was a little political thing. Forgive me. I'm out of here. We'll be back on the air tomorrow with more on money and stuff. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.